This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
Okay, well, a good trick is to pump to the tune of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Do you know that song?
Yes, I do. I love that song. First I was afraid, I was petrified.
No, it's... staying alive.
Okay, yes. Staying alive, staying alive.
You can't tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. When it's all right, it's okay. You can look the other way.
Staying alive.
Yeah, okay, you didn't maintain 100 beats per minute, and the ambulance didn't arrive because nobody called 911, so you lost them.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and in the studio with me, as always, Sharmila Ganesan, Arvind Yuvaraj. And you know what, guys? Last week on our Supercut, we asked you what you're doing to disassociate from the kumulut that has struck our country. And so today, we are doing pretty much exactly that. We are disassociating hard. And we're doing that by throwing back to, I think, a favorite show of pretty much all of us in the studio.
Oh, yes.
And that is The Office.
I had to literally try not to explode listening to that clip just now. Like, every moment of it is so familiar. Like, I have to hear one line of dialogue and I can remember the entire scene it came from.
It's like the thing that I watch every time I'm having lunch. Like, you have no idea how much of The Office
like,
I watch.
Like, just YouTube clips, right?
Just yeah, YouTube I do clips. That too. I binge on YouTube clips on, like, not even on a weekly basis, but, like, once every couple of days, it's like The Office, The Office, The Office, and then weekends, more Office.
So I, this is the show that I watch whenever I am alone in a hotel room. So if I'm traveling, if I'm by myself for whatever reason, I'm traveling for work or whatever, and I'm entering a strange hotel room for the first time, and I'm like, this is it. This is where I die. Then the show that I tend to have on, you know, as sort of my reassuring, bumbling, weird friends who all have their strange idiosyncrasies, that show is The Office. I love it so much. And I think that it's really ripe for a revisiting because for a little while, it was kind of cool to hate on The Office. It was kind of cool to be like, oh, yeah, but have you seen the British version, though? And, you know, to kind of hate on the sunny optimism that The Office represents. But you know what? We are here for it.
To hop on the hipster bandwagon, I guess, to go like, oh, the original one was better and stuff, which is fine. I guess the British one had its ups in some places. I guess if your humor is sort of British skewed, then you would like that one more. But the US reboot of The Office was, you know, I think one of the most consistent shows in TV history or like sitcom history, because it went from season one all the way up to the end with that same sort of humor. Even after Michael Scott left, it came up with new ways to tell that story or to explore those characters or to tell those jokes. And there's not a single season that feels dull or lame or, you know, one that sort of like missed the mark, I guess.
I'm one of those cultural reprobates that really didn't watch the British version first. I came to the American version fresh. I knew of the British version. And so I actually watched the British series after I was a couple of seasons into the American one. And I didn't really warm up to it very much. I mean, there were things about it I found funny in that like wry, dark British humor way. But I feel like I was already too invested in the American office-ness. And it's almost like it took the best things about the British series, that quirky office, awkward setup, even the fact that they all look like regular people, all of them. So it's shot to look like reality TV set within a paper company, right? Dunder Mifflin. Everyone just looks like a regular office employee. Even John Krasinski, who of course now is like Mr. Hot Gym Bod, looked like at best, the best looking guy in the office, because everyone else just looks so normal.
And even that was debatable, because remember, he didn't used to win Hottest in the Office Dundee. That was Mr. Ryan Howard.
That is true.
So, you know, there was that. So I came to the office sort of, I don't 100% agree with the consistency of it. So I love The Office. The Office, I guess, is my Star Wars in the sense that I recognize where there are flaws in it. I think that there are certain seasons, certain entire character arcs that I didn't really love entirely, but I love the show wholeheartedly. So for me, season one, it hadn't fully found its footing yet. I think it was still very fresh off of, nobody knew if it was going to live or die. Everybody was still comparing it to what was thought of at the time as one of the best sitcoms ever, you know, The British Office. And I also did not love the season with James Spader, with Kathy Bates, Michael left and they were sort of looking for a replacement. I thought that when your show loses, you know, it's sort of ethical, that's what she said saying heart, it can be very difficult to stand up from that. And I think it suffered for that. But overall, I mean, it's a great show. I watched The British Office, and looking back on it now, I liked it at the time. You know, it really pushed the boundaries of cringe humor to the very limits. But I think looking back on it now, there's a darkness about it that maybe I no longer appreciate or need. You know, there was a cynicism at its heart, which is the way Ricky Gervais's comedy tends to work, you know. And I think ultimately between Ricky Gervais's version of the world and the Greg Daniels, Mike Schur, Mindy Kaling, BJ Novak kind of version, I err on the side of the American optimism on this one.
Yeah, no, I think it's the superior one. Even I think Ricky Gervais would admit that it is the superior one. But like losing Michael Scott, I think was like removing Homer Simpson from The Simpsons. It's difficult to move on, which I guess is why they stopped. You know, they had to end at like a certain point. One thing I love about The Office is when they don't say anything. It's the comedy in silence, which I really love. It's the awkward pauses between like one person saying something and the, you know, before the next line of dialogue, there's such a heavy, pregnant pause that you cringe, and then you're like, when are you going to say something? And then they say something, and then everybody, like, you know, it explodes. And I love that. I love how they've sort of taken not saying anything or just like quiet moments and made it funny. It's so tough, I guess.
And that's actually a very, I feel like there's an Americanness to it. And this kind of throwing back to that show we did where we discussed British versus American comedy.
Yeah.
But the Britishness of it, the cringiness, the cringiness is different. It's a kind of harsh thing that where else, like in the American situation, you're not laughing at them. It's like you identify with this discomfort. You've been in that situation, so you're kind of laughing with them. And I think that's the big difference. And I think the differences in Michael Scott as the boss of Dunder Mifflin versus Ricky Gervais's character also is very much in that. He's not somebody you completely don't want in your life.
No, yeah.
He is at the start. So I think that the cool thing about The Office is that because it stretched out over 9 seasons, essentially, and you had a lot of time spent with these people, you actually got to see entire character arcs happen. So I do think that at the very, very beginning, Michael Scott is embarrassing, you guys. I mean, when you watch it back, right, he is really unpleasant. He kind of gets up in your face. And all the stuff that only comes out a little bit later, his neediness, his desire to be loved such that he would go with Jan Levinson. Jan Levinson, gold, and then no more gold. But, you know, like, such that would happen. I think all that stuff only came out because you spent so much time with this guy, because you had time to watch him strive towards coolness and always fail, strive towards love and keep failing. And it's the time that you had and the brilliance, I think, of the performance that allowed the writers to kind of stretch it out.
Yes, so I was absolutely going to say that. I think it's also just really a case of Steve Carell taking that role and that role growing and changing with him. Because as you said, in the first season, it was very much Americanizing the Ricky Gervais character. So he's on the edge of being unlikable. But Steve Carell is just, even the worst of his roles, he's just not someone who's unlikable. Steve Carell has this like huge, I don't know, like so much heart in every performance that he brings to the screen that he somehow just takes Michael Scott and molds him in his image. And then you have you know, scenes like that scene where he buys Pam's painting, you know, where everyone else criticizes her. And then that's actually in the early seasons. So you kind of feel like, oh, he's a bit of a jerk. And then he does these huge gestures that you don't see coming.
He's very sweet.
Mm-hmm. And you realize, you know, in his own bumbling kind of awful way, he's not a nasty person. He's just someone who doesn't quite understand how people around him work.
Like a Homer Simpson.
In a way, yes.
In a way, yeah. I also think it's because of Steve Carell's, like you mentioned, you know, like his evolution as like an actor. Maybe they didn't know how much he could do, or how deep he could go with those emotions in the beginning. And then they sort of explored that as he went along. Because if you watch his earlier movies, he plays the Michael Scott from the earlier season. He's this bumbling, sort of like a very annoying person that you don't want to be around. And then he slowly moves into more like sympathetic, more sweet characters that you cannot help but love, I guess.
And now, if you'll pardon me, a small bit of objectification. He's become Silver Fox Steve Carell.
Absolutely.
It's a long-term transformation plan. Anyways, we're talking today, we're throwing back to an entire TV series. We're talking about The Office, specifically the Greg Daniels American Steve Carell version. Tell us, I guess, a couple of things. Do you love The Office as well, you know, or is cringe humor maybe not so much your thing? Do you have a favorite sitcom or show that you would want us to discuss or throw back to in the future as well? Let us know. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
This is called leveraging an offer. Michael, can I talk to you for a moment?
Oh, God.
I just thought you should know that I was just offered a job with better pay, better benefits, and a better title at Cumberland Mills.
Fantastic.
And I turned it down.
What? That would have solved all my problems.
Out of loyalty to this company.
Oh, you idiot.
So I was hoping to be made assistant regional manager
if
officially.
If you left, I wouldn't have to fire anybody.
But then you wouldn't have me here.
Big deal. Oh, it would have worked out so well. Can you get it back?
It's in Maryland.
You could call. Can you call them?
I can't. I suppose I could. No. They never really made me an offer anyway.
Why are you torturing me?
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin, and Sharmila. And today, on our Throwback Tuesday, we're throwing back to the entire series of The Office, all 9 seasons. And we're doing that in no small part because we needed a laugh, but also because on Thursday, on our, you know, special edition extended length episodes, supercuts, this Thursday, we're going to be talking about TV show finales, right? The ones who did it right, the ones who did not. And that's because Friends, after all these years, are insisting on regrouping.
Yes. Well, thankfully not for a movie.
No.
Just for a reunion special.
An unscripted special.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. And we'll get into how we feel about that on Thursday. But it seemed like the right time to talk about a TV series that actually had the time to conclude the way it would have wanted. Because I think in the early seasons, before it was a hit, The Office didn't really know if it was going to make it. Yeah. And then after, you know, in time, it kind of grew to be the little show that could, and then it kept going.
And went on for 9 seasons.
Yeah. And I just think that we talked earlier about the impact that happened when Steve Carell left to chase his still booming movie career. And that left all the other characters we knew and loved to kind of keep going for another, I think, season.
So he left in season 7.
Yes.
So another 2 seasons. Yeah.
And, you know, the only reason the show survived, I think, is 2 reasons. One is the writing. And the other thing, I think, goes back to the performances. Because by that point, yes, Michael's important. But you also care about people like Jim and Pam. And you also care about people that you maybe never expected to care about,
like Dwight.
Yeah.
And Shrewd Farms. I love episodes set in Shrewd Farms.
Bears, Beats, Battlestar Galactica. You know, so it's. I think you have enough. And that's something I was thinking about in terms of time, right? Because there are some characters, and I'm thinking here of someone like Andy Bernard with his anger issues, his self-obsession, his belief that he's a great musician, that made it kind of difficult sometimes to live with. Jan was the same. I mean, her relationship with Michael, when you rewatch the dinner party episode, it's truly, you know, stomach curdling.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't spend that much time with her. Someone like Dwight, on the other hand, can I say you grow to love? Because I really cared about Dwight. I cared what happened to him.
I never liked Dwight. Like, I never warmed up to Dwight. But how do I put this? I love hating Dwight. Mm. I think that's the best way I can put it. I never, because he was so annoying. Like, yeah. For me,
yeah, he was
like
terrible.
The most annoying thing, other than Michael Scott himself. And Michael Scott, I could learn to love. Dwight, I could never love. But I would hate it if he wasn't in any of the episodes, I think. So I think that's one of the things that the show manages to do. It gives you all these like horrible people that you genuinely care for in a while. And you would miss if they don't show up in episodes, or if there are like hints that they might be leaving, or even if it's like a storyline where they're going to move to like another company, you'd be like, oh no, what are they going to do in this office without this and that person? Yeah. Even though most of these people are either A, useless, or two, incredibly awkward, or three, just a pain in the neck for one another.
Sometimes even potential criminals.
Yes.
On the lam.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
See, but you can't have a Jim without a Dwight, and you can't have a Michael without a Dwight. So that's why Dwight ends up being so important, because he's like this foil for these other characters. Well, someone like an Andy, who was introduced mid-series almost, kind of had to be forced in. I mean, he starts off as a character in a different office. The office consolidates. And then you have people like Rashida Jones joining the office as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And only he stayed, right? The rest of them all left.
For various reasons.
Yes, yes. So I almost feel like the reason an Andy Bernard doesn't work the way Dwight does is because Dwight, again, it's time. He was there from the beginning. And he has these ties and threads that we see pre-existing when we came to the show.
I think the flip side of that is also being able to see in time the negatives of these great, quote-unquote, really nice characters. And I'm thinking here of how Jim in later seasons gets called out for being a smug know-it-all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that's in his character from the beginning. But when he's this sad sack, cutest guy in the office being the crucial, you know, phrase there, cutest guy in the office, chasing the receptionist, it's endearing. But when he's in a position of power, right, like when he starts jockeying to maybe become not just assistant to the regional manager, but the regional manager, you know, then suddenly all these other things about his character show up. And you're allowed, I think, a little bit of discomfort to think, actually, if Jim were in my office, would I like Jim? And I think those are the kinds of relatable little moments that make the characters just feel closer to you.
So that's one thing that happened in like mid-series, I noticed, and it was a bit difficult for me to... it wasn't difficult. I mean, it took a bit of transitioning, because all of a sudden it's like the deconstruction of Jim and who he is in the office and stuff. And I noticed that they were doing that. They weren't just
even like calling out the pranks on Dwight.
Yeah. It wasn't just like one-dimensional anymore. Like all of a sudden they were like human beings. Yeah. With like lives and stuff, which I think they had to do to sort of prolong the show. Otherwise, you'd be like, you know, who are these cartoon characters? Again, the way they made that work was like, it's so cool that they allowed that to actually happen, because it could have fallen apart. You pick apart like a comedic character who's like a trope like that, and it could just collapse. But it's so good the way they like wrote that into like future seasons.
No, and the challenges, of course, the conceit of the show is that it's supposed to be a reality TV. So it's supposed to be single camera. You have crew members filming only certain portions of what happens in this office. Of course, why this went on for 9 years, nobody really explains. Apparently, it's really thrilling to watch a paper company at work. But the show actually managed to keep that going and still develop characters and still show you what happens, even though you don't really see their home lives. I mean, you sometimes catch glimpses of them, like, you know, from behind their windows or whatever. But developing characters with that limited frame is actually not easy. And that goes back again to the writing.
Can I just give a shout out to something? I've been so excited to talk about this. And that is the Office Ladies podcast. Are either of you listening?
No.
No.
My friends.
Oh. Oh my goodness.
I have news for you. So basically, Office Ladies is a podcast that is a rewatching of The Office with Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey. Essentially, yes, Angela Kinsey, sorry. Her name in the show is Angela Martin. I had a moment. But essentially, the two of them, who are real life best friends, sit down and rewatch the show episode by episode. And they take you through what it was like to be there. They take you through the writing. For instance, for many of the early seasons, those guys did not have Wi-Fi. So they would be sitting in front of those laptops, and they got they all got apparently really good at free cell because they did not have Wi-Fi. And so there were all these elements about how they did their hair, how they chose to come up with certain items that, for example, because they're real people, so they rewear their clothes, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that happens through the show. And they also talk about how they block out scenes. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if a boom mic gets caught in the frame, they consider that a win. Whereas normally in a real show, you would have to restart the whole thing. But yeah, in this case, the mistakes were great. Having to shoot... they did not construct sets so that they could shoot without obstruction. Instead, they embraced the obstructions yeah. that a regular office would bring, like columns and stuff. They also interview other people who were involved in the show. They've interviewed Rainn Wilson. They've interviewed like the people who did their lighting, the people who did their costuming. So it's fantastic.
Oh, how is this not a part of my life yet?
That's what I'm saying. It's so delightful.
Now it can be.
Yes, office ladies, you yeah. guys. Just saying.
So, you know, with you know, speaking about conclusions and stuff, there's been rumbling of, you know, everyone asks Steve Carell if he would come back for like an office reunion, if he would do like a sequel show. And it's become like some sort of a gag, even on Ricky Gervais's like Life's Too Short. He shows up in a cameo and he's like, you know, can we extend The Office? Would you come back and do something? So would you guys want to see an extension? Like if he agreed to do it, would you want to see like a one more season kind of thing?
I was actually happy with his exit from the show when they did that extended Dundee's Awards.
Oh, it was beautiful.
And that was such a perfect send-off. And then the bonus of him coming back. Is it a spoiler? The last episode of the series.
It's been like 20, yeah, not 20 years, but you know, a long time.
It was this beautiful taster just at the end. And he's not there for the whole episode. He's just there for a little bit. For me, that's fine. That's the best perfect kind of ending.
It is a kind of perfect show, right?
I don't want more.
So for all that we said that I think the latter half of The Office struggled, it was still a good show, but it struggled. Mm-hmm. The season closer is so great. The series closer.
Yeah.
You know, the absolute last episode of The Office is perfect. It tied off everything that I needed tied off. It allowed me to say goodbye to my weird friends. You know, I just really thought that it was well done. And I think that that's an important quality. We've been talking about the difference earlier between the UK office and the US office. And the US office allows for sentimentality. It allows for the awes and the feelings and the tears. And I think because of that, they could deliver a really satisfying finale that made sense on a character level. Is it a bit too neat on a story level? You don't care. Because the point is, you know, everybody gets the send-off that they deserve. So I don't want any more. I just want to rewatch it. I don't need new stuff.
It was tied up like perfectly. I think, yeah. So, and it's also not so bleak. Like a lot of shows do, they always tie it up in like a bleak sort of weird way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Office ended on like on a high. I think that was nice.
So we're going to be talking about TV show finales this Thursday. And you can tell us whether... Oh, you can wait to get in touch then, but you can also tell us now, you know, whether you thought that there were some shows that ended better than others. Also share, you know, your favorite Office moments or your favorite sitcoms. We want to know everything. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And if you want more, you can follow us on Instagram at Twitter. We are at BFM Popcorn. You're listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.